to provide for me image of what really is going to be the best sort of prototype across the district. So then are you, are they ever thinking together? Are they collaborating in a way that, you know, it's like, oh, this is really successful, this isn't, this is, you know. Yes, they are a highly collaborative group, and to come together and share ideas, are kind of actually that's going overseas and works with that group on a regular basis, so we can even expand on that.
So I love the balance of site visits with different schools, and it's not just at the K-5 grade level. We've also aired the drop and I drove all up to Antioch to see their makerspace and just redid their media space and create a room off the off of their library where they have created everything from old school cardboard and paint and newspaper, you know, for making different models to a drill press, 3D printers. And so as we move forward in terms of what a makerspace looks like, all those things are under consideration.
Thank you. Mr. Grant?
Yes.
Dr. Rara?
Yes.
Mr. McDonough?
Yes.
Mrs. Kafaria? Yes. 5 ayes, no nays, 2 absent, the motion passes. Right. Next is the approval of onboarding proposal.
We've been looking for ways to improve efficiencies at the district office level that help more effectively support the buildings. Elicited a lot of feedback from the principals, and at the district office we've had a lot of antiquated systems, a lot of manual work, a lot of disjointed types of things that have gone on as it relates to bringing people on board into the district when we hire them, just because of staffing and systems related types of things that we have been addressing, and we've been taking input and feedback from the principals to try to figure out what we can do to best help serve them better. And this particular proposal is a way to integrate the initial hiring process in a way that streamlines it, makes it less cumbersome, and also helps the principals be able to monitor and function a lot better when it comes to having to fill their vacancies in a timely manner in the spring. So that's kind of the general philosophical piece. Specifically, if you have questions, I can either have Jim give a few more introductory comments, or Bob could handle those during the discussion phase.
I move that the Board of Education approve the ongoing proposal presented at a one-time conversion fee of $2,000 and an annual cost of $13,262.
Second.
Questions, discussion? So, my question, can we get some background in terms of the efficiency? I know this efficiency is what we have now, currently what this new system will look like.
What we've been doing for long before I got here, the onboarding process incorporated about 45 minutes to an hour with an employee that came in. And while we went through forms and paperwork, we basically sat and watched them fill out paperwork while they sat there at the onboarding table. And that is not a requirement that would be a part of this new process. The new process would take and put all of those forms online. The applicant would be given access to those forms, and they must complete their application packet after being recommended for hire, at which point then they would come into the district office with those forms completed digitally. So it creates a digital footprint package for each new hire that comes on board. And then they would come in and meet with us, and we would still have a face-to-face actually then send an HR notification that once the fingerprints come back, then principals will have access directly to where their applicants are online in the process so that they can actually see where they are in case they need to make a phone call to say, you haven't finished this or you haven't finished that, you need to get that done and taken care of. But all forms would have to be completed, so we're not waiting on the back end for them to come back with their paperwork. But we would still maintain that personal connection with the employee as they go through the onboarding process. But they would have to complete all of those forms online before moving to the next step.
One additional question. Thank you very much. This information, will it really, the common information, will it be able to be integrated in their existing HR record?
Yes, actually it will. It's going to be building a digital file for them so that all of that will be stored digitally. We are in the process currently, over the next few years. We started last year with the tech department digitizing all files. We started with the student records at York. We'll be moving that process over here. All current hard copy files for personnel will be converted over to digital files, and we will now have a digital file. And this information will be incorporated within that, so we have one file for a digital footprint for each employee, and everything is tracked, and they will have access to that as well.
And all this is included in this system at any annual cost?
The digitizing of existing records is part of a separate project that is not part of this. This is the building of the digital file for hiring, and will become a part of the digital record that is being worked on through Kanaka Minolta.
Any other questions? Yes, Mr. McDonough.
Yes.
Mrs. Stiffman.
Yes.
Mr. Collins.
Yes.
Mrs. Gafoya.
Yes.
5 ayes, no nays, 2 absent, motion passes. Okay, Superintendent's Communication, Freedom of Information Act request.
So we've got four. One, requesting documents related to the facility's master plan and referendum, which was granted. One, requesting a specific legal, which was granted. One, requesting specific contract information, which was granted. And one, requesting specific opinion poll information, which was also granted. And then the final portion of my report is in Massachusetts here with the tweet of the week.
Actually, the post of the week. This was actually posted on Facebook. One of the challenges during the holiday time is continuing engagement. Most people go on vacation and they're not really thinking about, unfortunately, about the 205 who made their vacation. So one of our challenges as a communications department is how do you continue to help people think about the schools. So we issued a challenge on snow day to post your favorite pics for our families and tell us how you spent your snow day. So this is actually one from Facebook that kind of represents the general feeling. Kids out in the snow really enjoying their time. And it goes to a Kim Whitney for posting this wonderful photograph. And if you go onto any one of our pieces of social media, Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, you can see the collection and the montage from that entire time. Thank you.
Doing this, those posts were cute.
so far, but it's absolutely true. I mean, we are, high school hasn't changed since 1906. And that's just a shame because the world changed in 2005 when the smartphone came out. And we have to adapt to the new world that we're in. And so I think it's terrific that two of us, but it has to be one of these 40 districts that already in town are pushing to come up with new and innovative ways to teach our children. So that was one of the still before 8 o'clock. Presentation by Max McGee, the former state superintendent of education here in Illinois, and then most recently he was the superintendent of the Palo Alto, California school district, and they probably are the finest school district in the country that is more affluent, has more smart, well-educated parents who probably couldn't push their kids any harder. He had quite a few insights. This is basically a section about behavioral and mental health. And so he co-presented with the Lake Forest High School District, who had it with us because they lost three students within a four-month period. All three of those students stepped in front of freight trains. They recognized that there's a problem in the Lake Forest community, and there is a problem that I think every school district that has a high school, and I think it goes down to middle school as well. The pressures that society has placed these kids under, what was exceptional performance a generation ago is average today. So we push our kids harder and harder to get into the best schools. So a few things that both Lake Forest and Max McGee pointed out. There's ways that they're dealing with the same problem in somewhat slightly different ways. They have no more AP classes for freshmen, no more cell phones in class. In Palo Alto, they went to a 10-minute passing period so that kids could actually ask their teachers questions at the end of class. Or straighten out things about late assignments, et cetera. They didn't have to track those teachers down later. They went to an 8:25 a.m. start time. And then adopted a policy called see something, say something. In other words, kids looking out for their friends and helping identify when somebody's having a problem. In both districts, they said the common denominator of these problems is sleep deprivation. One of the ways Lake Forest is dealing with this is a 1,600-student high school. They recognize that their social workers and psychologists were spending the vast majority of their time with the special ed population, so they hired three more social workers and three more psychologists. Lake Forest teaches a class, or a full-year class, freshman year, a health class called Health and Wellness for Life, where they try to deal with just the things that kids should know before they try to do something desperate. Lake and Will counties, and this is something we should see if you can has something called text a tip. You can text to a live clinician who will give you counseling by a text. And clearly, if they think you're at risk, they'll get your name, your phone number, your email address, whatever it takes to intervene. Lake Forest put together a community wellness task force to increase community awareness. They put together something called LEAD programs. So they're ahead of us. And I think this is something that they've also addressed within the innovation committee as well. I just think that, if we were to lose one more kid and do nothing to get in front of this problem, that's a loss. I think this is a crucial problem in every school district, not just here, not just Lake Forest, not just Palo Alto, but
that's something clearly we need to get in front of. No. No, it's only slightly out of grade.
I do want to, as long as we have a ready past statement, I want to take a moment.
Not necessarily to get a response right now, not much of it, but how do we incorporate not just the physical education, but, you know what I mean? It's the whole, you know, the sleep, the diet is supposed to be just what are you choosing to eat, you know what I mean? But we have changed that to, you know, some weight loss sort of thing versus the true definition, which is to pay attention to, are you eating healthy, are you sleeping, are you, you know what I mean, are you asking for help? Building those friendships where you can share things and you have safe space. And I think that all that's truly the health education.
So, if you're a learning teacher, Kathy, wanted to elaborate for me, I would encourage them to do so. But that's why what you're suggesting is why I believe that we need to talk about this as more of a comprehensive approach. You know, we can talk about social-emotional learning standards at the various different grade levels and make sure that we are incorporating those into the curriculum, which we should do. And we can talk about homework policies, and we can talk about various different things in isolation, but I think that the key is that we have to talk about this as a holistic conversation about how we approach this. And we are already, you know, working on trying to do some of these things, obviously, we don't just, you know, completely disregard them, but I think that we have to move some of these things a little bit more to the front burner. But I like the idea of trying to take an approach that comes at it from a lot of different places and isn't just kind of a cursory thing, like, oh, see, we teach this in health class now or whatever. So I don't know if you want to elaborate on that, but
that's a good opportunity. Thank you. The piece about the health curriculum, just, you know, succinctly, not different, you know, necessarily my area, but it really overlaps. And there is that incorporated into every year that they're having health. There is, like, a social emotional well-being piece of it. I think that Dr. Meyer is talking about is we're all recognizing that need to come at it from multiple levels. And I think that our social workers, you know, have all the time in the world with our staff. They would have no problem helping our staff. And our staff has been asking for more of that. Just as an example, this year, like, all of our elementary schools took on calm classroom training, and it's a very simple technique incorporated school-wide. Minimally twice a day, if you meet twice a day, there's really good evidence supporting that. And it's similar to mindfulness, and we've just finished the first stage of it, and we trained a social worker, he's an elementary social worker with another colleague, a teacher. They did a training with the staff, and the others have connected their tone of water prior. A couple of the schools have done the first survey and very positive feedback from the teachers. There's information about moving that up into the secondary level. There's certainly an increase from our secondary teachers. It's an example of one thing. Some parents can think of over the course of the school years with their social workers leading those, and when we get into the school anxiety and school avoidance, I think there's certainly a high parent increase. That's one of the areas when we look at our services that we've expanded. Talking about expanding social work services, we have shifted some of our FTE within the department to social workers, and we know that if given the opportunity, people would ask for more in that regard, because there is such a need. Not, you mentioned something, Jim, about the type of the social workers and psychologists can be enough through the special ed aspect of it. I would say that we have a pretty good balance of our social workers working with students who are not identified, but we're certainly seeing the impact of some of those things. In particular, at York, there's kind of a pretty clear definition of which social workers are servicing students that have that as a part of an individual education program, as well as just students that are needing that additional support. And when you think about the team approach for York SSE, concerned at the high school level. I guess, you know, we've had this conversation, I can't remember if it was the last meeting or two meetings ago. We just want us to be very mindful of how we look at homework. You know, we can't have no homework policy at one level and then quite extensive homework policy at another because you've got to transition the students. So I really want us to be mindful of the transitioning. Like, you know, as you grow, you know, you're more responsible for things, so I don't think you should go to nothing, especially elementary. I mean, you've got to read every day. You know, you've got to do some math, you know, skills.